Welcome, welcome. Grab a chair. Good seats available in the front. We may move around anyway. Do you know what's true? In some churches, before church, people just come in and sit in the row and wait quietly for whatever is going to happen. I am so glad this isn't like, there's a few of us that are more introverted that do that, but mostly there's all this wonderful conversation. It's fun. Fun to see you all connecting. Hey, before we even get going tonight on our content, and really tonight is designed to be an introduction. Is Chris here somewhere? I know he's here, but did everybody find childcare where they needed it? Anybody have questions about where kids are or anything? Any of that? I think we're good. I think we have a reasonably good ratio. We may need of responsible people and children, but everybody knows where they're supposed to be and they got their kids there. Okay. Before we even get started on our content tonight, I just wanted to put into practice as a verse the Lord gave me this morning. It's actually one of those old-time Great Commission songs that most of you don't know, but some of you might, but we're not going to sing it. What we're going to do is we're going to apply it. And we actually did this with some of the Yoko folks this morning as we gathered at McDonald's with all the old guys. We definitely lowered the curve of age when we walked into McDonald's at 6:30. But this is a cry out from David to the heart of God, and God be gracious to us, bless us. And so if we were to personalize that, God be gracious to me, bless me, cause your face to shine upon me. And the question we asked this morning was, what do you need today that requires God's grace or blessing? We all have those things every day, but we don't often pause and bring faith to it or say, look, it would be really, really good for me if God was gracious to me today and choose to be active in our faith. And so just with one other person, seriously, don't group up in five because we're just going to do this for a moment. But one of two things, share with someone what you needed today or you're looking forward to, what you need presently for God to be gracious in, to bless you in, and then, or something today where God was gracious or blessed you. So it can either be a forward-looking prayer or a proclamation of thanksgiving and praise that you would speak. And then just real briefly, this whole thing, 1 minute, 1 minute, 30 seconds, this short conversation, and then just either celebrate what God did or pray for God's grace in that situation with one another. Does that make sense? Okay. Go. Well, King Jesus, we thank you that you are a God who has promised to treat us with grace and blessing, to reveal yourself to us, to shine your face on us, that we would know you, would we be able to walk with you. God, thank you. You've called us into relationship, and you bless us with your personhood, not the trinkets and toys we tend to get enamored with. God, really the goal of our affection is you, not what you do for us, but day by day, God, we need your presence, we need your blessing, we need your grace. I thank you for every story that was shared of experiencing that grace, and every need that is represented. We just affirm those prayers, God, and ask you to help us see your mercy and activity, and that you would be sufficient, that we would be able to do all things through you, because you are doing all things all the time. So we bless you for that, in Jesus' name. Okay, well, so the big idea, and I'd like just to ask a few of us to lead out in prayer for not just tonight, but this whole journey. We're using the resource called the Tangible Kingdom Primer, which are all back there, and it's intentional. You don't have them in your hand because you'd be looking through them and reading stuff and not engaging in what we're talking about. But those are just should be supplied, that we should have more than enough for everybody. Middle school and up. If somehow I miscounted, we'll get some more. Or we've got a few more. There's a few of you already have them in your hands, so I think we'll be good shape for numbers. But we'll pick those up on the way out, probably. Really, the goal is, and we want to talk a little bit more about some of the limitations of this resource, but and how we hope to use it. But the big idea is to go on a journey of letting ourselves be expanded in this idea of what does it mean to be fully immersed in what God has for his people on the earth, to go back to biblical models, to go back to the idea of asking God, what would you have for us today? How do you want us to live out what it means to be your disciples, your followers today, and how do we do it together? One of the by the way, this book, This is the companion book. If you, it will help you. You don't need it. It would help you. There's good stories, good anecdotes. It will stimulate your faith if you get it. If the only reason you wouldn't get it, you'd like to read it, but you wouldn't, you're not going to be able to because of finances, please let us know. We will send you a Kindle version of that because it's 10 bucks cheaper than a paper hardcover version. But it is a good resource. It stimulates your faith. I don't know if there's going to be any new ideas, but some of the things we've been talking about for several years now, it does put some sidewalls on some of that, some example. People that are a little bit ahead of us and have done the hard work of trying to contextualize some of these practices that we've been engaging in. So that's really our journey, that we would walk towards this place of biblical community, biblical discipleship, in a way that our culture can relate to, and that it's actually satisfying and peaceful for our souls, that we have a significant piece of that we get to be the hero of our own story. We're not the hero of the big story. We're not even the main character in our story, but we do get to bring heroic faith and honor God and be blessed by that. So I just wonder if a few of us could just pray for this conversation. We'll walk through a few things here tonight.
Jesus, I just thank you for your leadership that you have, God. I thank you for showing us what it's like to be making disciples and to be being disciples. I just pray that we can be using this resource to help form that in our own lives. But I pray, God, that we can be keeping you at the center, that we can be, as we're walking through this process, that we're just seeking you and that we're finding you and that we're helping others find you as well. Yeah.
May God, I just pray for this upcoming season, God. I pray that we would be looking to you for guidance, that we wouldn't be relying on our own strength, but that we would be seeking your will for us, and be listening to what your Spirit has to say.
Father, thank you that you are a relational God, someone that wants us to be walking with you each and every day, that wants us to wake up in the morning and ask those questions of what would you have for us, what would you want us to do today, so that we can have that connection with you and that ability to hear your Spirit's promptings throughout the day. I pray that as we walk through these workbooks and different studies, God, that you would be using them to help solidify convictions, not just a structure, but convictions in our hearts about the way that you would want us to live. God, help us to grow as disciples and as a group of people that wants to follow you with our whole hearts.
God, I do agree with all these prayers, and I was just reading in a devotional this morning by Oswald Chambers, and he just said, ask the question, do you have elbow room for God in your life? God, and I just know this is going to be something that challenges that, God, and yet that's my desire of my heart, is to have plenty of elbow room in my life for you to bring your kingdom forward through me and through I just pray we'd be not busy with the things that are not eternity based. That we would have our eyes fixed on you and your kingdom and what you want to do through each one of us.
King Jesus, again, I thank you that you have a plan for your bride. And you've made it clear in your scripture what you want us to be about and doing. And Lord, we want to be people who are willing to put to death our flesh and so to the Spirit and stay in step with you. And we want to be a part of your redemptive plan. We want to live out the fullness of all the great possessions and promises that we have. We already possess everything of genuine value. It's ours through the blood of Christ. There's nothing to be added to it that will matter. And we want to rest in that and God, be able to be the kind of people that what you've done for us, God, done to us, that we would be people who allow that to be done through us into this world, into the body of Christ that we share space with, but also those who are seeking you and examining what you have to say, who want to know who you are and what you've done, so that they may potentially put their faith in you. I think every one of us is on a journey, beginning at a point of unbelief and sin and rebellion towards full maturity. And there may be some of us that are further along or further behind. Which side of faith and salvation, we're all in a different place. But we're all on this journey. And I pray you'd help us to walk in that. There's much for us to learn and grow in. There's much about you to understand more deeply, more completely, and have it shape our lives and our faith more completely. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, a couple mechanical things. I messed up when we were planning these first few weeks, and we were going to skip a week because I thought that week was when I was going to be out of town. But I'm actually out of town the next week. So we're not going to skip a week. And hopefully that won't be a hardship for anyone. We've already arranged it with the sitters. We're going to just jump right in. Is it Friday that's the 15th? Is that the right date? So the way this resource works is there's a six-day reading cycle, and it's not very much content. It is very much doable in 10 to 20 minutes. If you're doing it as a family to discuss it, set aside a common time. This is primer time. There's ways to help yourselves be successful and not just assume you're going to do it. At least one person, and probably many in the room, will be tempted to fall behind and then do it all at once. And that's pretty normal human thing. Just wait till last minute and then cram in at the last minute. The goal of this resource is to keep it on our mind, to keep kicking these things around, to have it present day by day, not some mega blast of information 20 minutes before you show up here a week from tonight, but to really be reflective and thinking and talking about it amongst yourselves and really processing some of the ideas. No one idea is very big, but over the course of the 8 weeks, as we reinforce that and come back and visit it and practice some of these things, think about them, read them, we may be able to move ourselves into a different headspace. And that's really what we're hoping for, is set ourselves up an expectation of where is it that God would want us to go. Like any other form, it's just a form. I don't even know if we'll use all their language specifically. At the end of the day, I don't know if we're going to grab all their catchy little phrases. But the ideas are stimulating. So the cycle is 6 days of reading and then a day off. And that is your catch-up day, but just for one day you miss, not for six, okay? And so on the fifth day is when we gather in community. And so next Tuesday, we will do exactly what we did today. We'll gather, and if somebody, as the Lord would lead, I think it's mostly his heart of service to make coffee, but maybe he just wants coffee sometimes too. He's certainly drinking it. But if you want to bring something to share, but that engagement, don't come in here and sit down and wait. We'll get going. But really, because that's the pattern that we're going to move towards, is that we want to be a body that's connected and share quiet time thoughts, share some God was gracious or I need God's grace kind of stories with one another. And just share life. You don't have to be super spiritual, but exactly the way we did it, that's what we'll do. And then during one section, we'll actually break down into small groups and walk through some of their questions and process together. So those will be random and distinct. I don't know how childcare is going to go. We may all need to squeeze into circles in here. There may be some room out in the parking lot if it's warm, or somebody's got a conversion van that can go sit in the conversion van. But I think we can make it all happen here and have some meaningful discussion, and then process that a little bit. So this is a new resource for us too, so that we may come up with some, if you have creative ideas how to use that small group time in light of what we're trying to walk through, we'd love to hear those things. And then following that, we'll create a time, maybe 30 minutes or so. For any who would like to stay around and think more at a leadership level as we think, okay, how are we going to put this into practice when this eight-week journey is over? What's the first step? Does that make sense? So on the 15th, and certainly you can start before that, but it's designed to be in a cycle that the activity for the fifth day is that small group, which is going to land on Tuesday. Okay, so I don't think there's reading, right? I mean, it's just, that's it. That's the touch for that day. So really, it's only 5 days of reading, okay? So it's pretty low engagement. So okay, so that's where we're going with that. the more faith we bring to it, the more we're expecting God to do something, to move us, to change us, to grow us, to help us understand, be it done to us according to our faith. You know, but blessed is he who's hungry and thirsty after righteousness, they'll be filled. There's nothing supernatural even about the scriptures if we don't bring obedience. There's lots of people who know all about the scriptures, way more than I do. It has no power because they don't bring faith to it. There's no yieldedness. So information doesn't help us if we don't bring faith to it. So just to engage in that, to encourage each other, feel free to talk about his families and other relationships you're in. How's it going? What are you learning? The more we're in that context, it will help us. So I need a wing on my sheet here. I want to walk through just a couple ideas just to set the stage. I don't know why things happen in threes in my mind. It seems like other authors and other people, there's something balanced about three. Maybe I get to three and I lose interest and I can only think of three legs of a stool. But really, when we think about what we would want to experience as, and we look at it in a lot of context, but it always kind of falls into these areas that we have. So communion, just to define these things a little, communion is this connection with God. It's this identity. It's our soul care. It's this vertical relationship. And in almost any context, anywhere, that's a huge piece of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, is we need this vertical connection. And so you create structure and truth and teaching and organization to try to help us walk in that communion, that shared faith in Jesus, that shared identity in Jesus. Okay? Community is our connection one with another, where we really share life. That's there's this place where when we're living in this communion, we have this outward focus of that towards others who share that faith, and we help each other, we encourage each other. So these definitions, I only use these because if you read, they may show up. I haven't looked through the whole primer. They do show up in the book, Tangible Kingdom. And so just so we know what we're talking about, we'll use these definitions for now, but it may not be where they land. But the ideas are the same as we've always talked about. Vertical relationship, relationship with the believers, and then this relationship that God has given us to be redemptive agents, to be image bearers, to be in an incarnational picture, which is kind of the imagery of the tangible kingdom. So if Jesus is king of me, he's king of you, and we're living in community, somehow the experience of the kingdom ought to be tangible to those that we run into. There ought to be something that they can actually touch and taste and see and experience in our lives beyond just, oh, you don't swear, do you? Or you know, just kind of those outward behavior things. There should be something of God, of power, of his very presence, his nature and character that's being reflected out of us that goes way beyond having a different behavior system or political persuasion. They should be able to sniff it. In fact, that's what the scripture said. You are an aroma of life to those who are being saved. There should be so tangible. It's tactile. It should affect our senses somehow. That's the idea that we're walking through in the tangible kingdom. And the mission then is to somehow take this relationship with the horizontal, this identity, and let it be lived out in an expression that together as one in community, we're letting the world, those who are not yet reconciled to the Father, see that, examine it, taste and see if the Lord is good. Does that make sense? So that's the balance. So a little bit of history. You know, we've really been spending the vast majority of our time and context over the last 3 years or so really establishing that gospel identity. Lots of resources, lots of encouragement. The big part of our focus has been to really help us establish not an identity of doing good things, but being redeemed, being God's agent. So that a lot of our energy, and so we've spent less, not completely nothing, but less energy thinking about mission, and we've tried to put in some language to empower community. And as we've gathered together, even the way we share, and you know, we'll break down even as we're gathered as a large group, a big chunk of that is very intentional, so that when you sit in a living room or you sit in a smaller context, you've already done it in a bigger room. It's not strange to you. We start praying. We start sharing. So it's a natural part of it. It also gives us an opportunity to do that in front of people who may or may not yet have relationship with the Father, just to be comfortable with that. This is who we are. This is what it means to be a Jesus follower. Come in, watch, see. What's it smell like? Is this good? Okay, great. Doesn't? Well, then let's examine what we're actually doing. So we've invited, even in our public meeting, we've tried to create that opportunity, and with a lot of the relational ministry, both with some of the single ladies, we've given some opportunity to create that, with the marriages and with the high schoolers, we've tried to create some of that relational language of how to walk safely, how to communicate, how to really reconcile differences and challenges that we experience when we're in a relationship through some of that relational language. And that's primarily how we've been moving towards setting up potentially healthy community. So it's not we've been ignoring it, we've been trying to lay a foundation that when we actually step into it, we're not just looking at each other, okay, now what do we do? But we have some skills and some understanding and some practice at actually living out that community. So really what we're trying to do, and this is something to keep in mind, we're not trying in this 8 weeks to move all the way to that fully formed picture of a full mission and everything in perfect balance. And keep that in mind. That's not what we're pushing for in this next phase, this next season. They'll be talking about it. It's good for us to consider, dream. But really what we're hoping for is that we can more fully form the community. And then still look at ways that we can be examining mission and interfacing with our communities. Okay, so we're not trying to go all the way to that place of this being complete. We just want to take that really next step of take the foundation of our identity and some of the skills and some of the practice, live that out in community, and there will be opportunities to step into mission for sure, but it we're not going all the way to what the book would lay out and try to say this is the healthy picture. We're moving towards that. We're on that journey. So does that make sense? Okay. Anything you'd want to add, Chris, to reinforce that, or the guys that have been in this conversation?
I read the first half of the book, and I think you need to be ready for some real personal challenges. I mean, your own faith and high thought, I think it's really good to be looking for that. It's actually a pretty tough read, the book, because at least for some of us, challenging things for a long time. So,
yeah.
But it's very exciting to start seeing some new life possibilities.
Yeah. I appreciate that, because I'm. I would expect you to feel challenge. Why do I believe that? Why have I done that? What's my stuff that would put me in this camp? And is it valid? Is it real, or is it just kind of the way church is done in the West? And so I just kind of jump in the boat and go along, and I never really stopped and asked these questions. So I'm sure there will be challenge, but just to recognize, we're not looking for 8 weeks from now, everybody's right there. We want a framework to keep moving along, keep examining, keep seeing what God has for us as His followers. Okay, so this was another helpful diagram that came out of the book that you'll recognize if you've read it or if you do read it. In a traditional structure, leadership structure, and some of that's based on the way people perceive authority. In our culture, historically, at least the last 100 years or so, and maybe even longer than that. A position of authority, or letters, or education, or the fact that you held a certain title in a company, or in a school, or in a church. If you held that position, there was kind of this automatic deferral. You must know what you're doing. You must be trustworthy. Historically, government was that way. We elected you. You must be a reasonable human being. It's kind of naive when you think about we're just all broken human beings, but this kind of that deferred idea. Well, you're the guy. You got the title or the name or the letters or the office or the corner office or whatever it is, but the culture has significantly changed. That rarely causes people to either trust or follow anymore, just the fact that you have a title. It's rare. In any context, whether it's high school or business or government, anywhere, it's rare that I'm this guy, so you should trust me and follow me and believe me and think that I'm worth following. So as a culture, it has changed, And part of what has to happen for the church to remain maintain a level of effectiveness is to recognize that culture has changed. And this is just a very helpful diagram for me, that it's not enough to stand on the stage and say this is true anymore. Someone comes in, that's just not valid. And it's a very old truth, because Jesus didn't do that. That isn't the model he led with. So we shouldn't be surprised by that, but just in historic Western culture, that's been true. It's not true. And it hasn't always been true before that. It's not true in Eastern culture. But for a season it was, and so we formed structures that made sense in light of that. But a lot of those are no longer valid. So what we're moving towards, even the idea of being a leader and influencer, it can't be, if you're going to actually have influence, the title means nothing. Because what will influence people is a modeling and an experience, seeing something lived out. Now, we've always had this value. We don't choose leaders based on it for our elders or deacons or anybody. We've always had that value, and yet sometimes the idea that I'm the pastor, I'm the leader, I'm the whatever, you should follow me, can creep in because we're human. But it's always been our biblical standard. You're worth following because of your character, because of your life, because of your fruit. It's always been our standard. But that's not always been what we've been able to model, just because of our structures. In a very large church, it's really hard to model certain things because you just don't have that relational connection. And so leadership, influence is, and so this is a diagram of the structure, and really, we'll look at another one here in a moment, but there's this pool of people that are examining the gospel. Some will reject it, some will accept it. That's not our job. Our job is to be the aroma of Christ. Our job is to be image bearers and to be patient as they have that journey. I don't know if you ever read history of evangelism and the conversion of believers. It's always been historically very young people. Statistically, 20 years old, 25 years old. I mean, you become a statistical anomaly if you come to faith after that. I'm not saying we shouldn't evangelize. We've seen some wonderful fruit among those that are older than that. But the reality is, statistically, it's a very small percentage of the population that comes to faith after 25 years old. Always true in any context. But to recognize that historically in our culture, there was a cultural experience of what was generally believed to be true. When you said, I believed in God in 1975, whether you believed in Jesus or trusted Jesus or feared God was irrelevant. You still had the same kind of God in mind. There was a biblical idea of God that was prevalent. And so evangelism was helping people, taking those pieces of information. Tim Keller, I think, is the one that coined this phrase, you rearrange the furniture. So they had all the pieces, heaven, hell, Jesus, God, sin, love. I mean, all that stuff was there. But the clarity of the gospel was to line that all up so you could see the story of God being revealed in the gospel. Okay, this is what's happened. This is why this is this way. And so a decision, a profession of faith, a change of mind, a choosing faith could be a relatively quick process. Because, well, there it is. Okay, well, yeah, I had all these pieces. Now they all line up and it makes sense. And so the journey, but even a few years ago, 5-10 years ago, I remember the guys, some of my buddies that are now doing ministry in Europe, and they say it'd be a two-year process of conversation, of talking about truth and talking about who God is and what he's like. You go, wow, that just sounds really, really hard. Because they were very much a post-Christian culture. Vast majority atheistic or at least agnostic. And, well, guess what? That's what we are now. And so the journey, but what was interesting is those who did choose faith in Jesus, to choose reconciliation through the blood of Jesus, had much more serious conversions, a much more life-shaping change, because they thought about it. It was a journey, and it wasn't some quick emotional response to something, but they really processed it well. And so this camp called Sojourners in the book, it's those people. We're in those conversations, and it might be neighbors, it might be coworkers, it might be people that come into our midst, it might be any number of people. But there's these people on this journey in our job. It neither starts nor ends with communicating just the way of salvation, but being image bearers, being in that conversation, letting them process things, letting them see what it means to be a follower of Jesus as they're seeking, do I want to follow Jesus? It's a whole picture, and we've talked about it. Remember the three B words, how Jesus arranged his ministry? Anybody remember? Talked a lot about it. Yeah, belong. Believe. Behavior. And so that arrangement of how we would welcome people into fellowship is, well, let's get your beliefs right, and then let's start working on your behavior, and then we'll let you kind of belong. Then we'll kind of accept you as long as your behavior's good. And Jesus flipped that right upside down and said, just come along, come and see, come and see. And so this model really is that same, and I think you'll actually hear those, that same picture. I think he uses those same three words, which there's lots of people thinking along these lines. And so thinking through, that's the mission side of things, is these people that are in this conversation. And so the completed picture is that we have meaningful interaction with them. And it may not just be one conversation or two conversations or a six-week Bible study, but it might be 2 years or 4 years or 5 years as they're processing, watching, tasting, and seeing. And we're just patient with that. And we welcome them in to belong and examine and see, well, what do you think? And not asking for those quick responses. So the missional people are the people who are going to have influence. They're the ones that are going to kind of hold that line and continue to refine what it is that we are trying to accomplish is to advance God's kingdom as we live in community. And the next slide really is, so really, those who have a clarity of why we're here and what we're supposed to be doing to make kingdom disciples that move the church forward, moves the kingdom forward, expand it so that we complete the job he's given us to do, that his name would be proclaimed and worshiped in every tribe and tongue and people and nation. That's God's end game. And so we're modeling that. The people of influence will be those who move us along that line. And it's not just mission. It's healthy communion with God. So missional people, don't confuse that idea. It's people who are fully embedded in that healthy balance of walking with communion with God and community with his people, and also being willing to be that tangible touch with people in the world. Okay? So that's really where it's going. A couple limitations of the material we're going to be going through. They do not have a very robust language or plan for oneness. And if you're paying attention as you're reading, you may pick that out. But wait a minute, would you just be one? Yeah, but how? Most of the processes or all the hows are clearly laid out. That's one that's, and I've been wrestling with the Spirit because I've just felt compelled to, should I just write him an email and say, hey, I'll buy you lunch. Let me just talk to you for a half an hour. Because I think there's some things that could really help what you're doing. There's a piece missing of nothing, because I think he instinctively does it. I just don't know they have a reproducible plan, which that's the way he thinks, Hugh especially. There could be some things that would be helpful to them, but you're not going to hear that. You're not going to see that. So we're going to have to overlay some of our language into what it means to really walk out oneness and relational care. To reiterate, it's not a limitation of their material. We just want to temper that idea of going all the way to trying to blow up that mission circle right now. Don't dream about it, pray about it, think about it, but we're not going to try to fully apply that until we put some other things into practice and make sure we move down that. Okay, so Q&A, questions, thoughts. What are you thinking?
Yes. This is a clarification thing.
Yep.
On this one diagram you have there right now,
yep.
I may have missed a statement or two, but I don't understand where the believers behind there, what are those, I was tracking with the dark blue circle and the light blue circle, what's it, but how does, I missed the point of this one.
So there'll be some that are in our midst that are believers, and yet they're still being formed into that healthy, full-orbed view. And we may all be in that pink thing right now. I mean, that may be where we are. And what we want to become is these people who have that more in balance and have clarity about being incarnational and creating that tangible presence. We may all be in the pink. There's not many of us that are still in the sojourner. There's some that are still wrestling with their faith. Some young ones may still be wrestling. That's fine. It thrills me that there would be people in the dark blue in our circle. That's great. But most of us are probably in the pink and moving towards, probably the most advanced among us are just moving towards a full expression of what it would mean to live in that healthy balance. Especially if you start reading the book, because it's like, yeah, man, I could do better. I've been so rebuked going to the gym. I mentioned that. I get driven when I go in there. It's like I got to get my hour or whatever in and get out of here. And there's just people scattered all over the place. I see 2 to 5 times a week, depending on how paranoid I am about my weight and how aggressive I want to be. But somewhere between those two extremes, and they're there every day. And there's just no room. That's not what I'm doing. And I go, well, what are you doing, you moron? What? Who are you waiting for? Who should you be talking to? Who should you be caring about? They're there every day. And just the last week or so, just a number of conversations, a number of ways to engage even with the club and serve them, and just a little shift in what am I there for? I have a sub goal. Yeah, I need to push a little iron, but that's not who I am. That's not my big deal. And to capture those moments that God has already ordained for me to express His kingdom to people. So I'd put myself in the paint, trying to move towards a full understanding and a more faithful walking out of being that fully missional disciple on a. Is that clear?
Yeah, so like God's plan is to go from dark blue to light blue, and what generally happens to us in our culture is we go from dark blue to pink.
Yep.
And this is all about taking pink people and making them light.
Actually, no, it's not. That's partly true. What is typically shown is those who are in that their journey of finding faith is lived out among people who are in that missional thing. There's very little pink. They what it means to be a disciple has been defined for them on their journey. So they know what they're buying into. There's not that cultural Christian phase where we just, you know, sit around waiting, because they're already kind of walking in it. They're kind of already walking in it. They've been pre-discipled to know what it means to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. So it really is, the graph is accurate. What we're hoping is that sojourners would step right into joining us. And there's lots of anecdotes in the book of how that just happens.
I think John was saying for our context, yep, that we're having to form from.
Yeah.
Kind of, we're sort of traditional.
We're mostly pink.
Yeah. We're mostly pink. But ideally, if you do this right and mission is part of your life and part of your witness,
yep,
people don't say, oh, I want to be saved and sit in the church for 10 years and then get serious about Jesus.
Yep.
That's a very natural transition.
And Jessica?
I personally think it's lavender.
Okay. Duly noted.
So, in the light blue circle,
yes,
does that mean that also has the three red circles? Are the
were they red? These three circles?
Yeah.
Yeah. That missional sent person is one who has that healthy balance of connection with God, healthy community, and has clarity of mission.
So in that little oval thing, there would be a tattoo that looks like that.
There could be. If I had any graphical tattoo, you have no idea how I obsessed over just making these little lame things. I almost called him and said, you got a PDF file or something of all your graphs in this book? Because I don't want to spend my afternoon doing this.
Yeah, because I was just getting stuck on the mission.
Yep, yep.
And so really it's all those three things that make the light beautiful.
Yep. But the piece is, there's parts of our flow of life Their book that's written to leaders, the same two authors, these same two guys, and they're one of many that are thinking about these same things, slightly different language. This is a very practical resource. They've done a good job. The book And, The Gathered and the Scattered. What we've tend to excel at as the followers of Jesus is gathering, but to not really identify ourselves as sent. You know, missionaries are sent, but I'm not sent. And we're actually going to spend some time on Sunday looking at that very idea, kind of unpack some of the scripture. You know, for the next few weeks, we'll probably try to complement this conversation with some messages and conversation on our Sunday times as well, Sunday gatherings. But that's what we want to address, is that really true? Is that am I in obedience if I don't see myself as sent? So that's the big idea, is sent as the people of God, living in community with God and in community with God and with his church. So in our gathering, we're also being scattered to be image bearers. It's probably a better word for that than missional. That's the language you've been using. Great question. Yeah, Paul.
I'm not very visual. So, if anyone knows what light blue and lavender make, that's my comment here. It's, the impression I got was, go to the next slide.
Okay.
Is that, you know, I think they go to great lengths to not categorize, not, you know, put yourself or anyone else in a, you know, in a box, God especially. And so, that's some danger to the visual, you know, visuals. But the believer isn't part of it. We all want to have, you know, mature more to the missional, to the mission, but not necessarily, you know, everyone's going to be in the point in the front line. So there's this idea of support, you know, believer support, but that whole community, of course, is supporting the same mission. And we all embrace, you know, fully what the objectives are, but can have more, you know, different roles.
Yeah, and I don't know if people remember the modalic and the sodalic. What the pink represents is not the modalic. It would be, modalic is a less mature or less aggressive or directive mission. We should all be moving towards that full expression in some context. Sending money, something. We should all be sent once. Now, not everybody's going to move, you know, it's not going to be like, Craig, move China. But we should all be in that state of mind that this is what we're engaged in. And so, but the world around us, the Christendom in America, is a lot of people that don't have that sense. We talked a lot about perspectives class. It's the primary fruit, is moving people, not in this exact context or this exact picture, but moving people out of this, I got saved, this is my personal faith, I love Jesus, I got all this cool stuff because I follow Jesus. It moves them out of that and it just wrecks them. They go, oh, I didn't know the scripture had all this. I didn't know history said all this. I love teaching that course. I mean, you step into these lots of very, very pink churches and they just go, what? And all the stories start flowing out of people quitting CEO jobs and moving to Africa and starting a children's. I mean, it's just like crazy what God does when we address this idea that we actually are sent. But we're all on a journey. I personally, and I don't think you were saying this, but just for clarification, I don't think anybody can be an obedient follower of Jesus long term and not express some level of sentness. There has to be something that flows out. Even if it's prayer for the nations, but I'm engaged in this journey with Jesus. If we're going to be maturing, that's something I think it's just clear of who we are as his people. And hopefully we'll flesh that out a little bit Sunday. But does that make sense?
Yeah.
But all of it, the idea of being a sojourner, like all of us to think that way. We're all just on this vector of trying to move towards this greater and clearer understanding of our identity. We've talked a lot about identity. No one in the room has begun to grasp the glory that is in Christ Jesus. We're still on a journey with that. Cindy and I are pretty skilled in the relational stuff. We're nowhere near expressing real oneness yet, but that's our trajectory. That's where we're going. And that's really what we hope to do. And those who are leading out in that, not just with sharing the gospel, but living out that full orbed identity, is what we want to have influence in the church, not a standing. People who are modeling that, people who are walking that out. That's what we want to have setting the pace. Not a program, not a system, not an organization, but really living as disciples and growing in that maturity. Other questions, feedback?
Yes.
First, I think that it came at a really good time for me and our family, so I'm really excited about it. I just want to clarify as far as time frame. So you start reading, this is just detail stuff. You start reading Friday,
yep,
through Tuesday, and then we're meeting every Tuesday for 8 weeks.
8 more weeks.
Okay.
So this will be an 8 week, it will be 9 total. So this is just kind of the intro to get us going. And
intro. Okay. Start reading on Friday and then meet here every Tuesday,
yep,
together as a body, occasionally break off into small groups. And then after that, the idea is to kind of figure out like what we're going to do after that.
Yep. Yeah, congruent to that, we'd like to have a 30 minutes or so for, and we would invite every man at least. All are welcome. There's no, but to be a part of a discussion of what would this look like and start dreaming about, are there specific places or ways to organize some of our small group structure moving forward? So we can continue the conversation, really live out the community piece while we're dabbling in mission, and then with the hopes of those things. So that's where the modalic and the sodalic, the modalic being kind of that care piece, that's what we want to make sure is really strong, but that's in a position to allow the formation of those sodalic initiatives. That's always going to be the healthy expression, is we create such health in the mothership, whatever the mothership is, that's the church, it's the movement, that's that we're always releasing people to take those next steps, to step into a new sphere, a new arena. You know, Andrew, going to China, Elizabeth going to China, Brian dreaming about Pine Ridge, we want to be empowering and releasing those kind of initiatives. Does that make sense? But we don't expect that to happen week 9. That's part of the journey as we process it all together. Yes?
Well, I think that, I don't know how else it's going to come together, but as I caught the beginning of it, the idea of the tangible kingdom, and that's something that we create together. We are the tangible kingdom. And that tangible kingdom is the missional people. I think, you know, when I just read that in the blue circle there, I my mind naturally tends to go individualistic.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's missional people, so hopefully, you know, we'll all turn into great evangelists, and maybe we'll all go to China. That would be the end result of the whole thing, that's the point. You'll get a few people that'll do that, there'll be a few missional people, a few really missional people. But that individualistic perspective might be right in some frame, but really, it's a missional people. It is, we are the mission. We create that in our community. We become a missional people. And the shift from pink to blue is not somebody getting excited about evangelizing McDonald's so much. It's we become people that share the word, that share this expression, that have the aroma as we live together. And that does that in itself really brings something into our culture, into our community. And so that notion of we create this together, it's not that hopefully some of us will go to, you know, wherever, but that we're gonna be something. It's still the be.
Yeah.
We're gonna be something together.
And going somewhere could be to FCA at Thompson Valley High School. I mean, it's not necessarily the, this is kind of a weird situation where we have three individuals and another that's already gone sitting there that did it. Our ideal would always be to go in community, is to take smaller expressions and go, let's be intentional about taking the gospel into this new context, this new place, this new sphere, this new something that we maybe don't have. Unless we were intentional, it wouldn't land there. It's not going to be a natural course of events. We're going to have to choose that. We're going to have to go there or go together into that place. And that is one of the pieces that I think there's a limitation in his material, because the expression of mission in his stories and anecdotes are often individuals. That's how it's lived out, and that's why I think the oneness piece and the like Soma's really strong on doing it together. These guys, their expressions just maybe not quite what we would hold as a value, is that we are a missional people walking through life. And occasionally in that, most of us are going to stay right here and raise kids and have jobs and be a missional people. But if we're healthy, we will also kick off those who say the gospel is not there. And there could be Johnstown or Berthoud, or it could be anywhere. Yes?
Trying to make sure the culture and not yet redeemed is kind of just like the extra people, like the being drawn to sojourn.
Yeah, it's this is supposed to be a vector. The image is a vector moving into culture. And so in our relationship, in our circle, as we're moving through life, we are connected to sojourners. Now, there's a whole bunch of other sojourners and seekers and antagonists out there, but this is related to the people that we have that are in kind of our conversation, in our sphere, however they happen, coworkers, neighbors. Yeah, so we're going towards the point. We're heading into culture as the kingdom people. And in our circle, there are those who are a missional people. There are people who are, you know, wrestling with what it means to be a disciple. I mean, it can be fully devoted. And there are people in our relationship that are being drawn out of culture into conversation.
And that conversation
had
the oneness.
Yep.
Even though she didn't have any use, God changed.
Yeah, in that moment, now I don't know if you followed up, eventually they would fall out of our sphere of influence if we never followed. But in that moment, that's the circle we want to create, is where it's safe for people to come in, feel loved, feel cared for, not need to change all their behaviors right away, and be examiners, to be seeking out what's true, and let them be on that journey. So that's the sojourn. It's not the whole world of seekers. It's just those who are in this graphic. It's just the people that we have an opportunity to interface with.
Okay, so we have the missional community, kind of Soma community thing.
Yep.
And you touched on it a little bit. I'm trying to kind of differentiate, and I don't know if that's a good thing, kind of like what the difference is, because it seems like there is one there. Is this more just being in a community together so that we're preparing ourselves to start going out?
Yeah, and built into the flow will be some gospel initiatives, whether it's prayer on the porch or handing out invites to something. We'll do those kind of things. The difference will be, and by the way, we have not been completely negligent to that, of trying to establish mission. Some people have really stepped out in faith, and some people have really gotten their heads kicked in. So there's been great resistance to us trying to establish those, and you guys were part of that. And the difference would be you had a clear geography, that this is where you wanted to establish the gospel. What we're going to do first won't necessarily have that clarity. Now, you may end up all working in a specific neighborhood, but it's not what you're gathering around. We're gathering first around relationship, that modalic. And then if some gospel targets or people groups or whatever, I mean, there's been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears invested by people in this room to try to establish mission. And there's been aggressive pushback. So we haven't just been waiting around. We tried to move that direction. So please don't be naive. You may be challenged personally. I think it'll be a lot worse than that when we actually start influencing the kingdom. You better strap it on, because we're that culture not yet redeemed. I'm going to be very positive about it. That's where the devil lives. That's what he rules. And he does have power and authority over some things. And that's the reality. So this isn't some cutesy little trolley ride. This is a kingdom advancement thing. Sorry. I love the trolley or the train ride. Rick drives the train. So I didn't mean to diss your train, man. Yeah, but you bet. You don't be naive. There's going to be a soul battle, as you wrestle with these truths and really submit yourself to Christ. But there's also going to be resistance. If we're actually doing anything that matters, if we're actually doing something that's going to make a difference in people's lives, you better expect pushback. We're way past the time where you just plant a flag and go, hey, everybody, come to church, and we're well thought of as believers. There's way too much post-Christian thought and philosophy that flows in our world right now. Do you have a question, Rob? Look like you were forming one. Okay. You open your mouth when you scratch your head? Yep. I won't be here in 2 weeks. I'll be here next week to kick off the first one, and then I'll be a little late. I think we land at 6, don't we? 6:09. So we'll be here like 6:30. No. John will drive. I won't get there that fast. I'm just praying for an early. Sometimes you just land 40 minutes early. I'm just praying that we'll get. But I wanted to make sure that we had at least more eyes on it, more conversation the first go around, and then the next round, you'll be pros. You already know what to do and how it's going to go. So if I'm a little late or whatever, it's not that you wouldn't be sufficient anyway. I just wanted to make sure I was here to be assist or answer questions. Ask questions. I'm going to ask questions.
So we are meeting.
Yes. Yep. Matt, we'll get all that in the newsletter, that update. Great questions. All right. Well, I think most of the sitters are planning on being released around 8. I wonder if we could spend just a little time praying for this and maybe doing it in smaller groups, just so more people have an opportunity to bring faith or questions. Everybody, I think, did you count the books? I saw you counting heads. Did you? And probably 8 or 10 of us already have them. We should be okay. Should be pretty close. If not, I'll get some more ordered. One per person. One per person. So even the young ones, grab one. Everybody, please write your name in it. There are exercises where you'll actually write in the book and, you know, jot things down. So mark it up, use it, and we'll. I hope we don't. I think we should be okay. And also we're kicking around a little bit some ideas for either outreach or social times scattered over the next couple months so that young ones need to play a little bit. You don't want to leave you in a vacuum from horsing around a little bit together. Actually, you old ones need to play too. So, all right. Well, let's break into just groups 4 or 5, whatever. Just try not to make them too big. I'll close here in a little bit, and we'll call it a night.
Jesus, we thank you so much that you've called us to be your people. We thank you for saving us from our sins. Thank you for showing us what it means to be completely connected to the Father and yet still sent, being a servant, seeing your life as an investment, a ransom, that we might have life. I thank you, too, that you look at that journey you took and you looked with joy because of the outcome. You were a man acquainted with sorrows. You had nothing, and yet you possessed everything. And I thank you, you are the author and perfecter of our faith. You're the one we emulate. And I pray you'd be refining us into a people who hold you as our supreme affection, filled with gratitude and desire that everyone on this planet would know relationship with you. And I am not interested in growing an organization or being the largest religion. I'm interested in people knowing the God who created all things. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Aaron, if you would mind restating again in the newsletter, but just for clarification. So we'll start reading day one on Friday. By day five, we land on Tuesday, which is when it's scheduled to be in the small group function, the community piece of it. Okay, so that's the pace. And so day one, Friday, January 15th. Okay, are we clear on that? I know somebody's going to go, what day do we start? I know that. It's okay. What's that? You can feel free to poke around it. If you want more to read, to be stimulated, I would encourage you getting either The Tangible Kingdom or the book, The Gathered and the Scattered, and try to take it a little bit at a time. Don't kind of gorge and then step out of the conversation. Yeah, you could read that before the start. That's good. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. And there's a if you just search Tangible Kingdom Primer, there's a good little video that introduces it. If you want to, you know, set yourself and kind of know what to expect, that could be a helpful resource as well. All right.